Today on Off Mic, what will Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb do? Will he lift the state's stay-at-home order or keep Hoosiers at home for another 2 weeks? We hear from small business owners in Northwest Indiana on how the stay-at-home order has impacted them and what pitfalls come with lifting the order. What rights do workers have when it comes to returning back to work? And COVID-19 has stolen graduation parties for many college seniors. We hear from three of them in Northwest Indiana. And is baseball still far away? All this on Off Mic. Welcome to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. Well, in just a couple of hours, Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb will come out with a statement that most Hoosiers are eagerly anticipating. Will he or won't he extend the state stay-at-home order? Here's what he had to say this week about the factors he's using in deciding whether to lift the order.
Kind of in general, what we're looking at are hospitalization rates. We're looking at our capacity to care in terms of ventilators available, in terms of ICU beds available. We're looking at death rates. We're looking at where in the state these rates are fluctuating. And we're looking at, obviously, our PPE inventory so that we can care for those who are in need. Then I would say the last item that was critical in my estimation has been what we spent all of last week and leading up to where we are today in terms of how businesses, given the opportunity to reopen safely, how they would be able to do that. So that's why we solicited that input from the industries, various industries themselves, because without that part, if we were just to think that we were just going to go back to the way we used to do business, we just wouldn't be able to open in the environment in which we find ourselves in.
Well, Governor Holcomb will make his decision at 1:30 Central Time. You can catch his press conference right here on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM or at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Whatever Governor Holcomb decides to do will impact small businesses. And joining me via Zoom to talk about what lifting the stay-at-home order will mean to them is Cindy Lopez, owner of Maryville Florist and Tea Room, and Anna Martinez, owner of Anna's Cubacha Cafe in Gary's Miller Beach neighborhood. Welcome, ladies, to Off Mic.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hi, yeah, Anna.
Thank you so much for having us today.
No problem. So there's been so much back and forth on whether he's going to lift the order or not lift the order. Anna, as somebody who runs a Cubacha Cafe, which is fermented tea in Gary, first of all, how has the stay-at-home order impacted your business?
It's definitely had an impact on our day-to-day operations. It gave us a chance to be creative and figure out other ways to reach our customers and even, you know, new customers. So it's been okay. It's not the, you know, I feel lucky because I know a lot of people have struggled a lot more than me. So I would consider myself lucky right now.
And Cindy, as somebody who runs a florist and a tea room, how has the stay-at-home order impacted your business?
Well, we've really had to redesign how it is that we're doing things here. We are, of course, abiding to the advice of the health officials. We're doing no contact deliveries. We're operating with curbside pickup. We've had to close our doors, so there is no one allowed currently into the florist, the gift shop, or the tea room. But again, as Anna had said, that she is also becoming creative about ways to reach out to customers, about how to continue that relationship with existing customers and reach out to other people at this time and let them know that we're still here.
Now, the governor is thinking about lifting the stay-at-home order. He says it's going to be sort of a slow rollout, and it may be different depending on what part of the state somebody's in. With Northwest Indiana being so close to Chicago, there is some concern about being close to Chicago, how that might impact Indiana and the and just rising cases. In fact, earlier this week, Gary, Indiana Mayor Jerome Prince had a little bit something to say, and let's hear a little bit from the mayor of Gary.
If the governor does lift the stay-at-home order, we expect that more people from the state of Illinois will actually come into Indiana to conduct their business. If that happens, it certainly will increase the chances of our exposure to the virus because we know that Cook County, Illinois, is designated as a hotspot.
And that's Gary, Indiana Mayor Jerome Prince, just talking about this idea that if Indiana lifts the stay-at-home order, that Chicagoans can come to Northwest Indiana in droves, which would normally we would love for them to do that. But around this time, people are a little concerned about that. Anna, with your business really relying up on a lot of walk-in business and people just relaxing there when they come, how concerned are you if the stay-at-home order is lifted that, yes, you might get customers, but you also might be subject to possible inviting COVID-19 into your shop?
I think even if the order is lifted, I am going to continue operating the way that I've been operating. We are also doing curbside pickup. I'm doing delivery, no contact delivery. I'm still getting my kombucha out to different accounts, my wholesale accounts. So that gives us a nice opportunity. But I will continue operating the way that we've been until I can see the numbers in Gary stabilizing or going down. I don't plan on opening up my doors. I don't know that it's safe yet. So I'm just going to continue operating the way that we are. And then I have a trailer that I'll be rolling out soon. So then people could come and pick up their orders and the kombucha in a specific place, not in a cafe.
Yeah, and Cindy, same with you. I mean, not only do you run a florist, but you have a beautiful tea room there. Does it concern you both as a business owner and as a resident that there's got to be sort of a double-edged sword whether the governor decides to lift the stay-at-home order or not? Are there concerns? There's got to be some concerns on your part with that as well.
I totally agree. At this point, we really haven't made any hard decisions yet. We're just going to wait and see what the governor says, continue operating at the direction and the advice of health officials. We're making changes for when we do decide to open our doors, minor changes, so that we are able to adhere to the social distancing guidelines a little bit better. We're spacing out our tables so that when we do end up making that decision to open our doors, that we will be better prepared. But we have concern for ourselves, you know, as and our employees and our customers. So we'll make a decision, I think, as soon as there's more information available.
Now, Cindy, and you just recently opened or took over Maryville Florist, and to have to deal with this pandemic so early on, how have you managed to be able to still stay in business, even though this really troubling time?
It was an interesting time to take over and adventure into the new world of small business ownership, but we're hanging in there. We're staying positive. We are, you know, operating again as safe as possible. We're taking this time to make some upgrades, make some expansions to our business. So we're really trying to look at it more as just of a downtime. We're, you know, expanding our menu for when we think we're going to be able to open, working on some specials, making, you know, much needed improvements to the building. So we're trying to take this time and make the best of it while, you know, staying true to the business and being concerned about our customers.
You have Mother's Day right around the corner. Are you gonna be able to fill a lot of those orders for Mother's Day? Is this sort of a godsend for you as well?
Mother's Day, I mean, we're anticipating it to be pretty busy, regardless if the stay-at-home order is lifted or not. It is our second busiest holiday of the year, so only next to Valentine's Day.
I thought you were going to say Father's Day.
We're prepared for that as well. we're stocking up, we're placing our orders, we're getting ready for that. And again, a lot of it's just going to depend on whether or not we're able to open our doors, but we'll just continue operating with the no contact delivery. It's too bad we don't have an idea like the Easter Bunny, how we did the Easter Bunny deliveries for the Easter holiday. That went pretty well.
Right.
But
right.
Just normal no contact deliveries for this holiday.
Anna, how are you? I mean, you have so many delicious teas at your place and beverages and sandwiches. How have you been able to adjust to this sort of new normal we've been in over the last couple of months?
We put out a different menu pretty much every week. We do a couple of specials. We try to think about what would be appetizing on the weekends, you know, like a French toast casserole or something, something sweet, also something nutritious. We just stay in creative. I have a really great, my employee, I like to call her my coworker, my employee, she's awesome. She's always coming up with different specials. So I don't know. It's been pretty good, honestly. And we're doing new ferments, and I'm making house-made yogurt now. So it's really given us a chance to do some things that we haven't been able to do because we were always so busy just going every single day. So honestly, you know, we're grateful for what it's provided us in way of our creative talents and expansion of our menu.
And I know, you know, we all look at the news and social media postings, and we talk to friends and family. What sort of has been sort of the overall sort of attitude of folks around you, Anna, in terms of whether the governor should lift the stay-at-home order? People seem to be divided on that. Yes, maybe that he should to help the economy, or no, because we're not ready and people are worried about getting scared. Where do you stand on that, and what have people been telling you?
That's been, that's sort of my biggest struggle with opening up my doors, is I want to be able to respect everybody's boundaries. And from what I'm seeing right now is everybody's comfortability level is different. You know, some people feel safe being in a close space, you know, with others without masks, and some people don't. And I don't know, it's just a really hard line to figure out which way to take. So I'm just, like I said, it's been hard. It's been hard. I don't really have the right answer for that.
What about you, Cindy? Obviously, you have friends and neighbors, and everybody has an opinion about this. Are more people wanting to see businesses reopen to help the economy, or is it just let's take it slow? I know some people in my own household are afraid to go out now because they've been inside so long. What are people saying around you, Cindy?
I completely agree with what Anna had said. She has identified that people are very, very divided. And so in addition to us being a daily spot for lunch, we're also a special event location. So we do bridal showers and baby showers. And we have people canceling out as far as July at this moment. So even though, regardless of what happens today or what happens within the next month, there are still people who are saying we're not going to be comfortable in July. But at the same time, we also have daily phone calls of people asking when we're planning on reopening because they want to come back. So it's a really fine balance of trying to figure out exactly where people are at and what information becomes available about, you know, the statistics of the virus itself and the surrounding communities. So we're just really going to take it one day at a time and do the best that we can with it.
Well, okay, that is Cindy Lopez, owner of the Maryville Florist and Tea Room, and Anna Martinez, owner of Anna's Cubacha Cafe in Gary's Miller Beach neighborhood. Thank you, ladies, so much for joining me here today on Off Mic.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks. Stay safe.
We have Brendan and Carrie here from Clancy's Public House out of Portage.
We got Chris here joining us from Gady's Chocolates and Ice Cream out of Lansing.
So we got we're going to have Nick from Albano's on from Valparaiso. And they just opened up a place maybe 6 months ago in the mall called the Pita Stop. It's very unique. We got the 18th Street Brewery in.
Let's eat with Chef Nick every Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Indiana is slowly rolling back its stay-at-home order. I'm Matt Pelser. Next time on All In, we'll catch up on the latest pandemic news. We'll also dig into an IU study that shows most Hoosiers as recently as last year were not concerned about an epidemic affecting their lives. And even though the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is closed this May, you can still visit the track's museum virtually. We'll talk to their historian about a new online archive. Join us.
Join us every day at noon here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. There's more ways to listen to Lakeshore Public Radio than just 89.1 FM. You can get Lakeshore Public Radio on the go at your convenience with NPR One. The free app is available via iTunes, Google Play, and Windows app stores. When you download NPR One, select WLPR as your local station and start listening. NPR One will customize the stories and content from Lakeshore Public Radio and NPR based on what you listen to, share, and save. It's public radio made personal.
Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. Another segment of business affected by the pandemic is travel. Flights, hotels, cruises, and not just for big business, but small businesses like travel agency. Joining me to talk about the impact to her East Chicago-based travel agency is Debbie Bolaños, owner of Galaxy Travel. Welcome to Off Mic, Debbie.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, tell me real quick, how has the stay-at-home order impacted your travel agency?
Well, to begin with, but when it first started back probably the beginning of March, we already had several groups in line, cruise group. We had a destination wedding group and several pockets of small groups ready to leave in the month of March, April, May. And when that happened, the suppliers, the big travel companies started calling and saying, well, we're canceling. And all the work that's put into it, many hours of work, had to be canceled. No commissions, no sales, people not coming in because we're closed. So therefore, the impact, feeling it really, really bad, just like all other businesses. And people are really afraid to travel. As far as any future travel, we haven't booked anything yet.
Well, let me ask you this. The governor, of course, is going to decide whether to lift that stay-at-home order. If he does it, do you think people are going to rush right out to take a trip somewhere?
Honestly, I don't think that there's going to be a high percentage of people rushing out to do that. They're really going to think it over, and they're probably going to be looking at the news and reading up upon different destinations. I'm assuming that probably Europe will not be on the top of their list. I think that talking to some of my customers, they're saying that they'll probably travel locally, maybe Las Vegas, depending on how Las Vegas is doing, Florida, Texas, you know, California, Florida, different destinations for vacations with their family. But honestly, leaving out of the country, I think they're going to think about that twice before they make any plans.
Now, Debbie, even before the stay-at-home orders were implemented, you know, when people were canceling flights, you were seeing a lot of great deals on there. And people were like, hey, I'm going to buy this flight ticket and take off. And you know, people really weren't too concerned about their health. What are you, I mean, you're a travel agent. You've been in it for a long time. People trust you. What are you going to be telling people if and when they can start flying again? Well, they can fly now, but what are you telling people in terms of staying safe?
Well, first, what I would do is do a little bit more of my homework and find out exactly what the airlines are implementing. I'm starting to look at that now, about the mask and the and how they're sanitizing the inside of the airplanes. I also would probably look into how different hotels and how the suppliers are handling for these people to get ready to arrive. And once I would have all that information, I would share that with my customer. If I feel comfortable with it, I would surely recommend for them to start traveling and just start just, you know, start planning their trips like they were always planning on doing before. It's going to be a new normal. Things are going to change. But I guess in order for us to get back on track, we have to deal with a new normal. And I feel that it's going to work, but it's going to take time for people to feel a little bit comfortable. And yes, they're going to believe in me because I'm their travel agent, and I'm the one that should have most of that information in place before we start opening up our doors.
So it does seem, even in our last segment, we're talking to business owners. We all have friends. We're seeing social media posts. Some people are like, no, no, no. Keep the stay-at-home order in place. We don't want to go out. And some are saying, look, we got to get back out there. The economy's sinking. We need to get people back to doing business. Where do you stand on this?
Well, I'm kind of like probably in the middle of it, but at the same time, I'm looking at the business part of it and how people are affected with their jobs. And I feel that we need to get back on track. And yes, again, like I said, it's going to be a new normal. And I do feel that people are going to have to respect whatever rules or regulations are in order to continue. And it's unfortunate that we still have people, even when we had the shelter in place when it first started and as it went on, they didn't respect these orders. You can go to some of the grocery stores, for example, and they had where to stand away from the people 6 feet, don't do this, don't do that, and people do not listen to these things. And if we don't do that, we're not going to be able to move forward. And we also have to think about the people that are losing their jobs and need their jobs. And the businesses have to get back open. So I feel I'm a strong believer that we should start opening little by little. I'm not saying 100%, but we do all have to respect the regulations that are put until this they can find a vaccine to help people deal with this virus.
Well, Debbie Bolaños is owner of Galaxy Travel in East Chicago. Debbie, thank you so much for joining me here today on Off Mic.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you, bye-bye. You too. And we will be back with more Off Mic and talking about workers' rights as they return back to work.
Indiana is slowly rolling back its stay-at-home order. I'm Matt Pelser. Next time on All In, we'll catch up on the latest pandemic news. We'll also dig into an IU study that shows most Hoosiers as recently as last year were not concerned about an epidemic affecting their lives. And even though the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is closed this May, you can still visit the track's museum virtually. We'll talk to their historian about a new online archive. Join us. Join us every day at noon here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
We have Brendan and Carrie here from Clancy's Public House out of Portage.
We got Chris here joining us from Gady's Chocolates and Ice Cream out of Lansing.
So we're going to have Nick from Albano's on from Valparaiso. And they just opened up a place maybe 6 months ago in the mall called the Pita Stop. It's very unique. We got the 18th Street Brewery in.
Let's Eat with Chef Nick every Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Lakeshore Public Radio.
There's more ways to listen to Lakeshore Public Radio than just 89.1 FM. You can get Lakeshore Public Radio on the go at your convenience with NPR One. The free app is available via iTunes, Google Play, and Windows App Stores. When you download NPR One, select WLPR as your local station and start listening. NPR One will customize the stories and content from Lakeshore Public Radio and NPR based on what you listen to, share, and save. It's public radio made personal.
Well, welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. If and when workers return to work, whether it's a factory or a meat processing plant, what rights do workers have? Here's a little bit of what Fred Payne had to say. He's head of Indiana's Department of Workforce Development.
One of the things that the Department of Workforce Development does not do is we don't regulate workplaces and the policies and procedures that they have in place. However, as I mentioned earlier, what we will do is we will evaluate on a case-by-case basis every claim that comes in. And if a person makes a claim that the employer's place is unfit and it's unsafe under COVID conditions, we will consider that as a part of a refusal to work determination.
And that was Fred Payne, head of Indiana's Department of Workforce Development, talking yesterday about if workers don't go back to work when they're asked to do so, when they're requested to do so by their employer, that they could lose their unemployment benefits. But what happens if the worker doesn't feel safe and the company or the plant isn't putting those safeguards in there? So we're going to try to get a little insight of what workers can do with Northwest Indiana-based attorney Alfredo Estrada. Alfredo, thank you so much for joining us here on Off Mic.
Good morning, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So you heard Fred Payne talk a little bit about that. That's a little bit about people losing their benefits. But, you know, at this time, so many people are going to be heading back to work, whether it's retail or, you know, they may not feel exactly safe. Maybe their employer doesn't have the PPE or the mask or enough things to keep things clean. What really can workers do right now to keep themselves safe?
You know, the workers are going to have to make an individual assessment, really, whether their job place is safe for them, right? That's an individual determination. But for the employers, I would hope that they will make a concerted effort to review their policies and procedures in light of what's going on with COVID-19 and determine how can they protect their workers not only from each other, but from maybe patrons and others who visit the workplace. So to begin with, it's individual assessment by the worker.
What are the individual assessment by the worker, but what are some of the sort of the steps? You know, this is kind of a really weird time for everybody. We haven't gone through something like this, at least I haven't. And returning back to work, what do you think should be on somebody's sort of a step-by-step list as to what they should be considering when they're returning to work?
Yeah, one's going to be the duty assignment. And when you're looking at that duty assignment, what does it entail as to interaction with exposure to COVID-19? You know, and this is not particularly uncharted waters for employers or employees when you look at certain aspects of maybe past issues with cancer clusters within the workplace or diseases that have been spread, infectious disease that have been spread due to employment prior to COVID-19. But I think what would be interesting development out of this is really going to be how it's defined as an occupational disease or not, or if it's not designed under the Workmen's Indiana Occupational Disease Act for workmen's compensation claims. Right now, we're focusing on introducing workers into the workforce in a safe manner and their rights to protect themselves. And then we're going to undoubtedly have workers who are exposed to COVID. How is the state and the ODA going to react in defining whether those COVID-19 cases that may have been taken or obtained through work going to be treated as a workman's comp case or not?
Okay. And let me ask you this, because I know you deal a lot with immigration issues. We do know a lot of immigrants work in some of these larger meat processing plants, and those are having problems everywhere. What kind of rights do these workers have? Even some of them may be represented by a union, some of them don't. But is there a sort of a basic sort of level of rights that workers have if they're in a situation where they feel that the company isn't providing enough safeguards?
Yeah, you know, and there's always tactics that some employers may use that are not exploit one's immigrant status. But under Indiana law, you know, and there's a recent case, maybe 2 years old, that has determined that individuals who are undocumented or immigrant have, you know, access to courts, and that their immigrant status won't be taken into consideration when it comes to certain aspects of litigation. So their rights are, I would say, at the front end are exactly the same as anybody who is, you know, a U.S. citizen or a legal permanent resident. But, you know, that's all going to be played out. If we look at, you know, the meatpacking issue we have in Cass County here, where, you know, quite a bit of individuals are contracting that, you know, that's something that's going to have to be explored. And I think, Michael, what we need to really focus on legally, at least, is workers' rights as to how they can prove that their COVID-19 case is contracted at the workplace. That's going to be something that's going to be of quite importance and debated quite a bit under the Occupational Disease Act.
All right. Well, Fredo, you know, we were talking about the small business owners in a couple of segments leading up to this, and sometimes we don't think about it, but law firms are also a form of small business. How has the way you're able to deal with clients and talk to clients and, you know, handle cases, how has that been impacted through this whole pandemic?
Yeah, our firm was discussing it prior to the stay-at-home order by Governor Holcomb, and we're pretty progressive on it. We instituted and developed a plan to institute virtual meetings, the ability for not only the attorneys but staff to work at home, rotating shifts for in-office days. We've been able to operate as a law firm in a very similar manner as before through all those implementations. There have been some, day-to-day meetings that you cannot avoid, and Governor Holcomb did accept law firms out as a essential business. So, but we were able to implement and really have done it without any hiccups.
Great, great. All right. So, Alfredo, if you're an employee going back to work, whether it's retail or a meatpacking company, and the employer is telling you, yeah, you got to come into work on Tuesday, the order is lifted. We're not saying the order is lifted, but anticipation of that, what would you be doing to prepare yourself to go back to work?
Well, I'd be asking questions. Number one, is there going to be any type of PPE given, gloves, mask, et cetera? Two, I would try to, because of, like I said, if I do contract it at work or think I'm going to possibly contract it at work, I want to prove that that was where it was caused. Because under that IODA, if it is a generally wide or generic form of disease and we can't pinpoint it to the employer or the work that it came out of, the work place and was outside the scope of employment, then we won't be entitled to workman's compensation because of it. So ask questions, what type of PPE am I going to have? Are you going to supply? And then the also social distancing, what's the following procedures of the employer to kind of protect us from COVID? And I would limit my exposure outside of the workplace so I can, if I do contract it, that I could prove with some certainty that it became, I was contracted through the scope of employment.
Well, Attorney Alfredo Estrada, tell us, how would somebody get in contact with you if they have an employment concern?
Well, they could, I'm an attorney at Burke, Costanza, and Carberry, have offices in Maryville and Valpo, and they could call us at 219-769-1313 or email me at estrada@bcclegal.com.
Attorney Alfredo Estrada, thank you so much for joining us here on Off Mic today. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me, and stay safe.
Thank you. And we'll be back with more Off Mic. And we talked to a few graduating seniors from a local college who their graduation year has been impacted by this COVID-19. Stay tuned.
On the next Region Nerd Alert, we are getting down with previewing the brand new Olafo album, Ova. If you're a fan of lo-fi beat music, hip-hop, and hip-hop beats to study to, you're going to love this episode. Olafo does the music you hear every episode, and even right now while I'm talking. Come nerd out on the next Region Nerd Alert this Saturday at 7 p.m. right here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
We have Brendan and Carrie here from Clancy's Public House out of Portage.
We got Chris here joining us from Gady's Chocolates and Ice Cream out of Lansing.
So we're going to have Nick from Albano's on from Valparaiso. And they just opened up a place maybe 6 months ago in the mall called the Pita Stop. It's very unique. We got the 18th Street Brewery in.
Let's eat with Chef Nick every Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Indiana is slowly rolling back its stay-at-home order. I'm Matt Pelser. Next time on All In, we'll catch up on the latest pandemic news. We'll also dig into an IU study that shows most Hoosiers as recently as last year were not concerned about an epidemic affecting their lives. And even though the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is closed this May, you can still visit the track's museum virtually. We'll talk to their historian about a new online archive. Join us. Join us every day at noon here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Plante. The COVID-19 pandemic has disrupted life in America as we know it, and society hopes to climb back to some sense of normalcy in the coming weeks, even perhaps starting slowly this weekend. But for many graduating college students, the pandemic ended in-person class weeks ago. Many will accept a diploma but won't have a ceremony to attend. I teach a journalism class at Calumet College of St. Joseph in Whiting. I've been using Zoom to teach the class. I invited a few of my students to share how they feel about this pandemic crashing their graduation party. You'll hear from Hannah Carr, Robert Davis V, but we start off with one of my students who rather remain anonymous.
Hey, Professor Puente, I wanted to talk a little on how the coronavirus has started to affect my everyday life. And let me tell you, it came in hot. As a college senior at Calumet College of St. Joe's, I'm absolutely crushed that this is how my last semester is ending. My last day in class was on Wednesday, March 18th. At the time, we were starting to worry about the pandemic, and other schools had begun to shut down, and maybe I was too naive, but I didn't think it was going to happen to us anytime soon. Little did I know, that Wednesday was going to be my last time I got to sit in a college classroom, the last time I had with most of my college friends and roommates. It was the last time I walked through those doors and met with my teachers as a college student. I'm worried about keeping my grades up and pushing for graduation, now that I can't even walk for commencement. I thought I would have more time to come to terms with graduating, saying my goodbyes, and really excelling in my last few classes. I wanted to walk across that stage, and I had set plans for after graduation, but now because of this pandemic, everything seems so lost and jumbled. But even with all the negative that this pandemic has brought, I still try to keep positive and my head held high. I'm reminded every day that I still have my health, my family and friends are safe, and I have faith that we as a society can and will get through this. I may not get to finish my senior year the way that I imagined, and it may push my future plans back a few months, but life has a tendency to keep moving forward, and I plan to do the same.
So without further ado, let's talk about Hannah Carr. You met a lot of people, a lot of teachers, professors along the journey, but who would you say was your most influential and why?
I think I would have to say, at least at CCSJ, it'd be Chris Buzinski, or we call him Dr. B. He really took me under his wing when I got here, and he was willing to just let me come into his office and talk or beat him in darts, which he usually got salty about. But he encouraged me to pursue what I wanted to do, because at the time I was in communications for my major, but I wasn't sure which direction to go into. And he was just telling me how I should follow my interests and that's how it led me to becoming a pop culture and music journalist.
Okay, and to sum it up, what do you feel is your best memory from your whole collegiate experience?
I think just being able to do sports overall and get to do as many sports as I did because it's not common for someone to do more than one sport in college, but I ended up doing basically five, and which I take pride in because it's hard to be a college athlete in the first place on top of school, but then you're a year round, different sports, different teammates you gotta cooperate with. So I just think just being an athlete overall was a great experience for me.
Oh, okay. And that wraps our our interview up. And that is Hannah Carr, people.
Thank you. All right. And now I'm going to be asking Robert some questions as well. We're going to take a more serious turn at this. With COVID-19 affecting your academic career, how does it feel knowing like your last trimester got taken away suddenly, and how have you been adjusting to it?
Honestly, when the thing first hit, I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome because we're going to get an extra week off because they told us that we're going to have an extra spring break number two. So I'm like, okay, we don't have to do nothing for a whole week. This is amazing. And then I still got to work until like everything got closed down. So that, it was phenomenal at first. But then when they told us that they were extending the 2 weeks to a month, and now that we've been locked up for almost a month and a half or a month and 3 weeks, it got terrible because I'm the type of person that likes to be around people. And when I feel like I'm alone, I think to myself and I get really depressed. I don't know what it is about me, but I feel like all humans, we all have this thing inside of us and we all want to be connected with each other. And through these devices, it just wasn't fitting me. It hurt me inside to have to connect through a cell phone. So that was the only really big thing. The work, I didn't care about the work. It was just my mental state, honestly.
How does it feel knowing that you're about to graduate college, but we're not going to have the opportunity to have the activities or the ceremony? Like, how does that make you feel?
It's crazy. But at the same time, I'm not tripping because everybody who knows me is going to be proud of me because I dedicated 4 years to a positive institution. Because people that are from where I'm from are either dead or in jail right now, dead or in jail or living like kind of bad right now. Like, you don't see a lot of black people come from Louisiana, travel all the way up north, you know, and then like just like have a perfect lifestyle. It doesn't go out that way. You feel me? I was never raised in the nice neighborhoods. I was always brought up in the hood. And to do something positive with my life, people are going to, they're going to shake my hand regardless. I don't need a ceremony to validate what I did.
Well, that's all I got for you, Rob. Thanks for answering them for me.
No problem. You already know what it is. 150 Dream Team, Rob Davis. Yes, sir. And it's just like that.
And those were the voices of graduating seniors at Calumet College of St. Joseph in Whiting, Indiana, Hannah Carr and Robert Davis V. I care so much about my students and wish nothing but the best for them. And we'll be back with more Off Mic.
Indiana is slowly rolling back its stay-at-home order. I'm Matt Pelser. Next time on All In, we'll catch up on the latest pandemic news. We'll also dig into an IU study that shows most Hoosiers as recently as last year were not concerned about an epidemic affecting their lives. And even though the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is closed this May, you can still visit the track's museum virtually. We'll talk to their historian about a new online archive. Join us. Join us every day at noon here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
We have Brendan and Carrie here from Clancy's Public House out of Portage.
We got Chris here joining us from Gady's Chocolates and Ice Cream out of Lansing.
So we got we're going to have Nick from Albano's on from Valparaiso.
And they just opened up a place maybe 6 months ago in the mall called the Pita Stop. It's very unique. We got the 18th Street Brewery in.
Let's eat with Chef Nick every Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. Well, some big news to report on the sports front. The Chicago Bulls have hired a new general manager. And giving us the lowdown on that is veteran sports reporter for WBEZ Radio in Chicago, Cheryl Ray Stout. Hey, Cheryl, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Michael?
Great, great. So tell us a little bit about the new Bulls general manager.
Well, his name is Mark Eversley, and he is his last stop was in Philadelphia, where he was the assistant general manager there. But he grew up in Canada. He worked for Nike, and via Nike, he got a job with Toronto Raptors. And so he was very entrenched with the Raptors and was very close to Vince Carter. In fact, he's the godfather to one of his children. He went on from there. He went to Washington. And then he went to Philadelphia. He's got a background, very diverse background as far as scouting, very good relationships with players. He's going to be the first Black general manager in Bulls history. So there's a bit of news there. He's going to have a job where he's going to be working in concert with several people in their front office.
Great. You think he's going to, you know, a lot of problems with the Bulls in terms of recruiting and getting top flight players, the free agents. You think he may have a better show at it than, say, Gar Foreman or John Paxson did?
Absolutely. I think the optics and his background is going to be very strong. Of course, his number one job is going to be, what does he do with head coach Jim Boylan? That's going to be one of the biggest tours he has. But you're right. Trying to attract some of the big free agents. You know, there's some big ones coming out of the way, out of the NBA next year. So Giannis is one of them. Anthony Davis is another, so he could be in line to help woo some of those guys to come to Chicago to help with this. Actually, this is kind of a rebuild again.
So, okay, so later today you're going to be speaking with the Chicago Bulls on that as they introduced a new general manager. Are you excited for that, to hear from him?
I think it's going to be interesting to see what his vision is, what, you know, what is his first goals and what he's trying to meet right away, how he's going to be, because, you know, everything's being done virally. So how do you talk to your players? How do you try to set the course? Because the NBA season is still there. We don't know what's going to happen with the regular season right now. And there's talk of still trying to restart it later on and then have a shortened season next year. So there's a lot of questions to be asked of this new general manager and of the Bulls as a whole.
Now, Cheryl, before we move on to talk a little bit about baseball, there was some news this week with involving the Chicago Blackhawks and letting go John McDonough.
He was the president and CEO of the Chicago Blackhawks. he was in charge of everything.
And so was that surprising? Why did they let him go? Or why did he walk away?
It was a big surprise. You know, he was released. He was fired. And he had just gotten a new contract last summer. So this bodes like what happened behind the scenes. We don't know what happened, but what it does say is that Rocky Wirtz, who is the owner, who was actually always stepped away once he took over the club several years ago, one of the things he did was hire John McDonough to take over everything. And John revamped the whole scheme of the Blackhawks. He went from a 50 team member as far as front office to 200 members. He, you know, was the one that was involved with hiring Joe Quenneville, moving up Stan Bowman, helping with really putting them in the, you know, now being one of the premier hockey franchises when they were very dormant when he took over. So he did a lot of things. But behind the scenes, I know John very well. I knew him when he was with the Chicago Sting. And of course, he was a vice president with the Cubs. And then he was lured over to the Blackhawks. He's a very strong personality. He's someone that expects everyone to dress appropriately, act appropriately, and be on task. You know, he's a very, very tough person to work for, but he did have results. So this was a big surprise. What it does tell you is that there's more changes to come, because whoever's going to take over is likely going to make sweeping changes with the GM and possibly the head coach.
Wow, wow. And so now also moving on to baseball, we're hearing that perhaps teams can start playing again on 4th of July. And there's also rumors that the Chicago Cubs and the White Sox will be in the same division. What are you hearing?
Yeah, that's what we're hearing. We're hearing the restructuring of the divisions. It'll be an East, West, and Central, and the Cubs and White Sox would be in that same division. They're talking about possibly starting, like you mentioned, in early July, have a little bit of spring training. There will be expanded rosters if they do this. There will not be any minor league action at all. So that's kind of a question mark there for all the small towns across America that have minor league teams and may not have baseball at all. So you have that going on. So there is a lot of question marks, but this seems to be coming in. This has been building up lately the last week. We're hearing more and more. We should be hearing something within the next few days, because a lot of things, once May 1st hit, then we knew things were going to start happening. We do know that the NFL is trying to figure out their strategy for the next season. They're talking about possibly starting late too, possibly having a shortened season. So with MLB, this is the first big one we're hearing about, and we should hear something in the next week or two.
And in terms of the NHL, do you anticipate them coming back to try to finish their season?
They're talking about coming back in July. They're not saying if they're going to go straight to playoffs, but we're hearing that they'll possibly will be doing the end of their regular season. There's a lot of question marks here because they're talking about playing in certain regions and having the teams staying stationary in certain regions. So there won't be any fans. That's the big note is that there won't be any fans in the stadiums for most of these teams, for most of these leagues, from what we're hearing. So the fans are going to be able to watch it on TV, but won't be able to be in the stands.
So, Cheryl, I understand there may be a little bit of news to report on the Chicago Bears. So before we get off the phone with you, what is the news with the Chicago Bears?
Well, May 4th, we'll find out Mitchell Trubisky's fifth-year contract year for next season will be picked up. If it's not, then we know the Bears are indicating that he's not the player of the future.
Great. So we know Cheryl's got a conference call to make now with the Chicago Bulls, so we're going to get her off the phone now. And this is Michael Puente with Lakeshore. We're going to be wrapping up here. But before I go, I do want to give you a little bit of an update from the Indiana State Department of Health on the latest numbers for COVID-19. So the Indiana Department of Health is reporting 815 new cases of COVID-19 around the state for a total of 18,630. There are 55 new deaths for a total of 1,062, and we are almost nearing 100,000 people tested for COVID-19, 4,600 new ones just in the last 24 hours. Here locally, Lake County has 1,929 confirmed cases and 92 deaths. Porter County, 240 cases and 7 deaths. LaPorte County, 224 cases and 6 deaths. Newton County, 60 positive cases and 6 deaths. Jasper County, 33 positive, 1 death. And Stark County, 16 positive with 1 death. So the numbers keep going up. Of course, Governor Holcomb is going to make his big announcement coming up at 1:30 local time on whether he's going to lift the state stay-at-home order. You can catch that live right here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, or at lakeshorepublicradio.org. You can listen to that live. And I do like to thank all my guests for today's show on Off Mic, and my producers, as always, Jose Rodriguez, El Hombre, El Guapo, Mr. Tom Maloney, and the fabulous D. Dotson. So we're going to try to bring you the latest news and information over here. And stay tuned for the next show coming up. Have a safe and wonderful weekend. The weather's supposed to be getting better and warmer, and so we're going to try to stay safe. Put on those masks if you have it, and try not to hoard. Are people still hoarding? I don't know. Jose's sitting next to me saying, I don't know. So have a nice weekend. Enjoy yourself. Stay safe. Thank you for listening.